This is the Whole Hog Sports Football Podcast, presented by Massage Envy, featuring interviews, analysis, and feature stories on Arkansas football. Now, from Fayetteville, here's your host, Seth Campbell.
For some, it's sad. For others, it's a relief. And for even more, it's about time. Whatever your feelings, the Razorbacks will take the field for the last time on Friday. In a place that holds so much tradition.
Jones, looking, steps, throws to the end zone. Touchdown, Arkansas!
In a, quote, rivalry game that's sponsored? The Hogs have an opportunity to break their 18-game SEC losing streak. Whatever your feelings, the Hogs suit up one last time to play in the Rock on Black Friday. From Whole Hog Sports, I'm Seth Campbell, and this is the Whole Hog Podcast. Today on the podcast, we'll look at Jack Lindsey and his performance against LSU. We'll also talk to a Missouri beat writer about the Tigers. Then, we'll wrap it up with the most experienced Razorback roundtable out there, as Bob Holt, Dudley Dawson, and Scotty Bordelon talk about Arkansas's game with Missouri. Massage Envy, voted the top day spa in all of Northwest Arkansas, now is even better with the addition of Jan Marini and Obagi skincare services and products. These exciting new lines are provided, as well as a serum-infused microdermabrasion and chemical peels. Our face is one of the most important features that we have. Proper skincare services and products will enhance and protect your face, while the benefits, well, they could extend a lifetime. No matter your gender, come by either clinic in Rogers or Fayetteville today for your introductory session. Before the LSU game last week, the Lindsey name was popular in Northwest Arkansas. But Jack Lindsey made a name all for himself on Saturday.
Lindsey wide open. Mike Woods, touchdown. Good drive by Arkansas.
Lindsey engineered two touchdown drives towards the end of the LSU game that make him a possible starter against Missouri. Lindsey is an Arkansas kid through and through. He played his high school ball at Fayetteville High before transferring to Springdale. As a senior in 2015, he led the Bulldogs to their first playoff appearance since 2011. Interim head coach Barry Lenny Jr. says Lindsey is a quiet guy, but knowledgeable of the offense.
He's that guy that just kind of stays in the corner and stays quiet. Now, listen, he's not quiet, but he's got a lot of personality, and our players really gravitate toward him. But he just knows what's going on.
Who the Razorbacks will start remains a mystery as the depth chart lists three quarterbacks, KJ Jefferson, Nick Starkel, and Jack Lindsey, with oars between them. But after his performance against LSU, Lindsey thrust himself into that conversation.
Massage Envy with clinics in Rogers and Fayetteville has been awarded Northwest Arkansas's Best Day Spa and Best Massage. One of the reasons is our care for athletes, both serious and recreational. We now offer rapid tension relief sessions using a high-caliber vibrating tool and total body stretch sessions like the ones used by the PGA. Both of these new services can be combined with the always popular deep muscle treatment. So whether you compete or just want to relax, there is no place better than Massage Envy.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
We'll just stay in the course and keep trying to do the little things right and just prepare every week like I was the starter. So that's what I did, and I just tried to make sure I was ready whenever I was getting an opportunity.
Arkansas quarterback Jack Lindsey on getting to play last week. Welcome back into the Whole Hog Football Podcast. Seth Campbell joined alongside now Brandon Kiley. Brandon is a writer for Rock M Nation, also a producer for 610 Sports in Kansas City. And Brandon, thanks so much for joining us on this holiday week.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Happy holidays to you and everybody listening. I appreciate you having me on today.
Yeah, so first things first, let's start with the quarterback talk and Kelly Bryant. How's he feeling and what's the outlook for him on Friday?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to know exactly because he came into the season with such a buzz and Mizzou fans were just so looking forward to having a guy of his caliber to be the quarterback. And it started out well. He looks almost exactly like you would have anticipated. And then just the injuries have started piling up of late. And coming into this week, said earlier this week, he's feeling maybe 60, 70%. I don't even know if it's that good. I would anticipate that he will start. I wouldn't expect him to look like the Kelly Bryant that I know Arkansas was recruiting earlier this year, that Arkansas fans saw at Clemson and that you saw earlier this year at Mizzou. He just hasn't been that guy. He's not as mobile. He's not extending plays as much. He's not able to create the way that he once was. And so I think he'll start. I think he'll play most of the game, if not all the game, but he hasn't looked like the same Kelly Bryant that we were anticipating.
Well, Arkansas has a way of making quarterbacks look like Heisman contenders, so we'll see how that goes. Even a 60% Kelly Bryant might put up 100 yards rushing and 300 yards passing on the Razorbacks and their defense. All right, moving on. Barry Odom, you know, has had kind of an up and down season, just like Missouri. What are Missouri's fans' feelings towards Odom right now?
Kind of depends who you ask. Right now, though, at this specific point in time, most people are kind of done. It's arrived at a place where it's really hard to defend Barry Odom at this point. I came into the season as kind of questioning Odom, but being on the, okay, he got Kelly Bryant, the talent is here. Like, there was no question coming into the season whether or not Missouri was a talented football team. They clearly were. And the schedule set up in a way where it felt like this was going to be the season that he really put things together and could go 10-2, 9-3 at worst case scenario, 8-4. And it just obviously, given the record and the fact that prior to the bowl ban being upheld this week, they were hoping to get into a bowl game with a win on Friday. He hasn't delivered the way that people expected. And so a lot of fans are asking what I believe to be a fair question of, if you couldn't do it this year with this team and this schedule, when are you going to be able to do it? And so I think Friday is significant for him to get that sixth win, to be able to quote unquote be bowl eligible three straight years, even though we now know Missouri will not be going to a bowl this year. That's something Missouri hasn't done very often in its history, but I don't know that that's going to be enough for him. So Mizzou fans are frustrated. They're disappointed. And a lot of them are just ready to do something new at the head coach position.
You mentioned that Odom's going to be kind of on his way out, or some Missouri fans think that way. Arkansas is in the middle of a coaching search as well. Who does Missouri or Missouri fans, you say they want something new. Who do they want to bring in or are thinking about bringing in?
So that's the thing. Missouri isn't quite there yet, like in terms of the fan base. I think at this point, this was the first week when Missouri lost to Tennessee. It was the first time where I saw it really come to a head of almost unanimously, Mizzou fans were like, okay, yeah, it's probably time to put this to an end. Prior to that, it was still split. When you saw earlier this year when they lost to Wyoming, there were a lot of fans that were like, okay, it's clearly not going to work. But then they go on that run and they start out the year 5-1 and they lose to Georgia, but everybody thought they would lose to Georgia. They lose to Florida and that was frustrating, obviously. But it was really the loss to Kentucky and Vanderbilt especially, and then last week against Tennessee that pretty much got everybody on board. And so as much as people are kind of there, it hasn't really shifted yet to, okay, who would replace him. It's more kind of in a situation where people are just ready for something new and something different than Odom. That being said, as somebody that kind of started to look into this just in terms of, like, you got to be prepared in case, right? I think Mike Norvell makes sense. Mike Leach is always a name that you hear, but I don't think he's going to be somebody that Missouri actually pursues. Outside of that, man, you guys probably know this from kind of looking at the landscape for Arkansas. It's kind of limited in terms of the real candidates for jobs this year. I'm sure that Matt Campbell's name would come up. I don't know where else they would look right now. I think Norvell's the most natural, obvious candidate given the ties to the area in the Southeast and given how well he has done at Memphis. But I don't know what the names are going to be that actually legitimately emerge.
Yeah, that is something that Arkansas fans and just Arkansas people that follow the program have kind of run into of what are the names? Because there's not a lot of mid-major teams that have up-and-coming coaches that, you know, will take that next step this year or, you know, soon. All right. You mentioned the postseason ban earlier. How are Missouri fans responding and the Missouri Athletic Department responding to that postseason ban?
Anger. It's as angry, as upset, as disappointed as I've ever seen Jim Sterk. And he's not been on the job particularly long. He's relatively new, 2 years now, I believe. But he had some pretty strong statements. I mean, one of the Mizzou curators, which is like the people that are on the board, right, for Mizzou. I know every school has a different name for them, but at Mizzou they call them the curators. Is former Missouri basketball player John Sunvolt, who has done a lot in business now and is very well to do. He basically came out with a public statement that said something to the effect of, this decision by the NCAA will ensure that moving forward, the way that universities handle these types of situations is deny, deny, deny. You don't get statements like that from public people like John Sunvolt. That just doesn't happen. And so I think that that's kind of the tone, the tenor that most Mizzou fans, most Mizzou administrators have taken is just being upset. And I think the reason why, if you want me to kind of boil it down, and this is the case for anything in college sports, is the money. I mean, as much as it is frustrating and disappointing that Mizzou's not going to be able to go to a bowl and that the baseball and softball teams are going to be held out of the postseason this year, that's disappointing. What really matters for a program like Missouri is that bowl ban means that Mizzou's not going to be able to be eligible for the $10 million in bowl revenue that the SEC distributes to teams. That's a lot of money, man. I mean, I was looking this up the other day. For the 2017-2018 academic year, the fiscal year, Mizzou Athletics had a budget, a revenue share of $100 million. That's 10% of the overall budget. And so if you want to know why Missouri's so upset about this situation, it's the money they have spent on lawyers and then the $10 million that they're not going to be able to receive as part of the bowl revenue. That's a significant amount of money. It sounded yesterday like they're going to get a loan from the university in order to be able to pay for some of those things that they would have expected to be able to have otherwise. But this is an athletic department that previously has really prided itself on being self-sufficient. They have never used money from the university. It's been two separate entities, Mizzou University and the Mizzou Athletic Program. And so that's where the majority, in my opinion, of the frustration is coming from, and I believe it to be justified.
Yeah, that seems to be understandable. Talking right now to Brandon Kiley, he's a writer for Rock M Nation, producer at 610 Sports in Kansas City. Brandon, before we let you go here on the Whole Hog Podcast, I want to ask you about this really forced rivalry between Arkansas and Missouri with a with a trophy with the outlines of the states. It's 4 feet tall and, you know, has a sponsor. Mind you, this rivalry has a sponsor, which you don't see from a lot of, I guess, big time rivalries. What are the Missouri's perceptions of this rivalry with Arkansas?
I think probably similar to the way that Arkansas fans feel about it. I think one thing that's kind of disappointing, just from my own perspective, not speaking for Mizzou fans, is Arkansas's really been down this whole time. Like, if Mizzou came into the SEC and the first 2013, 2014, Mizzou's up the way that they were, and they had such great seasons, and if at the same time throughout, Arkansas was also good, and moving forward, Arkansas was the team that they have been at times in the past, and we know they can be, I think it would have a different feel. I think if they were both playing for something and were consistently contenders, this would be a rivalry that had a feel that I think a lot of people hoped that it could. It just hasn't been that way. Both teams have kind of been down the last few years. The games have been played on Black Friday, and they really haven't meant anything of substance. Like, the biggest thing they're playing for is coaches getting fired the last few years. I mean, that's not interesting for anybody. So I think that's been a big part of it. The rivalry just hasn't taken off the way that a lot of people would have hoped. It just, the games haven't been that meaningful. It's not a quote-unquote natural rivalry. I think Mizzou has a bigger rivalry right now in the SEC with South Carolina and Tennessee and even Georgia than they do with Arkansas. And a lot of that just has to do with the stakes of the games. You know, when Mizzou was playing South Carolina in 13 and 14, the games really mattered for both programs. Every year, Georgia is really good, and so the games really matter from that perspective. And for Mizzou, those games typically happen early in the season when the fan base still has some hope, and that's kind of the first measuring stick game a lot of the years for Mizzou. So that it ends up being a really big game on the schedule. It's never been the case against Arkansas, and I'm sure a lot of Arkansas fans probably feel the same about Mizzou.
All right, that's Brandon Kiley. As I said, writer for Rock M Nation, producer for 610 Sports in Kansas City. Brandon, fantastic information. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Whole Hog Podcast.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you guys having me on, and wish you and the listeners a happy holidays. Enjoy the game on Friday. Hopefully it's a little bit more enjoyable than I know both fan bases have been able to watch most of the season.
Exactly. All right. Thanks so much, Brandon.
Absolutely, man. Have a good one.
Massage Envy has been voted the best day spa and best massage in all of Northwest Arkansas. One reason is our great therapists and estheticians. Due to increased demand with our new services in both massage and skincare, Massage Envy is now looking for talented, licensed providers to join our great team. A competitive compensation package and family-like environment are just some of the reasons our providers have worked nearly 10 years with Massage Envy. Looking for a great career? Come by our clinics in Rogers or Fayetteville and apply today.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
That's going to be really cool because he's my best friend. We actually played at Fable High together. We grew up together, so always competed against him. So we've kind of been chirping back each other. It's just fun and games. But, yeah, really excited to play him.
Arkansas quarterback Jack Lindsey on getting to play against his former teammate and fellow quarterback Taylor Powell. Welcome into the Whole Hog Football Podcast, the last roundtable of the year. And joining me for the last roundtable is going to be Scotty Borderline, Bob Holt, and Dudley Dawson. And gentlemen, we've been here a few times, and unfortunately, I think the story is going to be the same. The 56-20 loss to LSU. The defense, I mean, we were talking about it earlier. They haven't come away with a takeaway in a while. What's your just overall thoughts on John Chavis these 2 years here, Scotty? What do you think?
Oh, my goodness. Haven't been able to stop the run at all. If an opponent comes in with a running back who is good to average to good, more likely he's more likely to run for 100 plus than he isn't. Gosh, I don't even know how many 100 yard games Arkansas has given up on the ground the last 2 years, but I know four running backs this year have gone for 180 plus, and Kylan Hill ran all over Arkansas. Colorado State running back did the same thing. Clyde Edwards-Helaire for LSU only needed six carries to get 188 yards and three touchdowns. He scored on three of his last four touches against Arkansas. There's just no resistance in the run game. Not a lot of pressure getting into the backfield and disrupting quarterbacks and knocking them off their spot. And, you know, Arkansas, I think, did okay, you know, taking the ball away from maybe some lesser opponents early on. Like, I think they forced like five or six turnovers against Eastern Illinois in Chavis' first game here. But, I mean, the turnovers since then have been few and far between. And just you're not putting opponents in bad positions. And the tackles that you are making are 6, 7, 8 yards downfield. That's not good. There's just all the way around not good.
Couldn't have said better myself, Scotty. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Bob?
I mean, in a word, the defense has been horrible. John Chavis said the other day, let's face it, it was broken. We got it. We haven't fixed it yet. And I would say that's spot on. And I didn't think the defense would be dominating by any stretch of the imagination with some senior linemen and some experienced linebackers. And I thought, you know, a couple decent defensive backs, I thought they'd be okay, certainly better. And they really haven't been. And they just, the way they give up yards, big plays, it's just amazing to watch, even against talented teams like LSU. I mean, Colorado State scored, I think, on the second play, a 75-yard run or pass, or I don't know. They all just kind of run together. You see these guys running free in the secondary and break, or not even breaking tackles. Colorado sometimes can't even get an arm on these guys. So I really thought a coach with John Chavis's background, he's obviously had a great career as a defensive coordinator, won the Burroughs Award, I think, in 2011. Just as obviously he does not have the talent here that he did at LSU and Tennessee and even at A&M in some of those years. I mean, Miles Garrett, the number one pick, played for him at A&M. But, I really don't think he's done a very good job these last 2 years with limited talent. But, I mean, they're one of the worst – they're possibly the worst defense in Arkansas history. Statistically, they'll probably will end up being. I know they're playing a lot of really good teams, but it just hasn't worked at all. It's obviously disappointing for Arkansas and I'm sure the coaching staff, but it just has not been a good mix, John Chavis and this Arkansas defense.
Well, I would love to do the Bill Belichick thing and say, not talking about LSU just moving on to Missouri, but I understand that's not how it works here. And,
would have been a great
number 14.
But a great addition to the podcast, yeah, let me tell you what.
Yeah, let's be honest. John Chavis has had a great career. He's sent many people to the NFL, has developed them, has set great defenses. But for whatever reason, he got here and it just didn't work. Now, I don't know if that was scheme. I don't know if it was the inability to relate what he wanted to the players, the inability of the players to execute that. But in the big scheme of things, it just hasn't worked. And I think his career had been trending downward, from what it was, from the stellar career it was, but it just hadn't worked here. And, you know, obviously, I think Barry Lenny, the interim head coach, mentioned the other day that these guys aren't going to be together after Friday, the vast majority of them. So I'm sure that if he wants to continue to coach, and there's been some, you know, rumors out there that he might be ready to retire, that he will do whatever he can Friday to go out on a win. But it's just been the big thing. It just has not worked.
You mentioned this a little bit, and you may not know, but I want to put this question out to y'all, and we'll start with you, Bob. Why has it not worked?
Well, first of all, Arkansas doesn't have a ton of NFL talent on defense. I think Dudley mentioned that. I think according to his bio, John Chavis has had, I think, 74, 75 players go on to the NFL. And, you know, I can see Scooter Harris playing the NFL. I can see Cam Curl playing the NFL. I can see Sosa Game playing the NFL. Maybe some of these, you know, maybe a guy like Monteric Brown or Jarquez McClellan could develop into an NFL player, but certainly you look at what he had, like at LSU in 2011, for example. That team was just loaded with NFL players. You know, those Tennessee teams loaded with NFL players, even A&M. But this, you know, so it, you start with a lack of talent, a lack of speed. I think you look at the – they're playing a really tough schedule. But on the other hand, you wonder, both Portland State and Colorado State lost their starting quarterbacks in the second half. You wonder what would have happened if those guys had been able to stay in the game. You know, maybe Arkansas didn't win those two games. I don't know. But I think it's a combination of and maybe – and I believe you, I'm no X and O guy, but maybe what John Chavis was has been doing for a lot of years doesn't work as well today. And maybe you need to kind of get a newer, younger guy in there with some more innovative ideas. I certainly don't know any specifics on that. I'm just kind of saying – you know, maybe it's time for, you know, a younger, newer guy. I know when John Chavis came here, he said he still had fire in the belly, and he's 61, I think, or 62. Hell, I'm 60, so I'm certainly not age discriminatory against anybody.
I think he just had an upset stomach.
But you know, it could be that maybe the schemes that worked in the past don't work now against these newer offenses. Obviously, everybody's, you know, running more plays, so that's going to affect your defense, even if you have a great defense. So I think it's a combination of a lack of talent. Maybe scheme changes are catching up to him. And I wonder if his heart's really in it. I don't mean he's not working out or uncommitted, but I think whether you're a player or coach, whatever, if you're in that program and you're constantly getting your head bashed in, I think it's got to affect you mentally, if not physically, emotionally, whatever. It's just got to be tough. Because here's a guy that's used to winning at a very high level. And, you know, that has not happened here. So I have to believe that's probably – you know, taking some of his heart away, love for the game, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the fire in his belly, as Scotty said, may have just been some hot chicken. What do you think,
Dudley? Hi, my name is Dudley, and I'm 56. I'm not as good as I once was, but once I can be as good as I ever was. You know, but you need talent to do that with. And I just don't think there's been enough talent. The talent, a lot of it is young. Nobody wants to hear about the youth movement, but nobody wanted to hear about the old guys coming back either. So this has been a wild thing. As I said before the season, there's no way the defense could be worse. No way the offensive line could be worse. Well, we'll see, you know. But I just think it's just a conglomerate of a lot of things that just have not worked well. And it's clear. And being from the great town of Newport and its great football program, I never had to deal with losing on a regular basis. So I can't imagine how tough it is to get up every day, to go out, play football on a Saturday or Friday in this case, to hang in there for a little bit like they did, you know, 7-6 with LSU, and then LSU start to break away, and to put your full emphasis and your full energy in that. We all want to say we're competitive. We all want to say we have heart. But at the same time, it's just got to be an unbelievable feeling to be out there and you know, whether it's against Portland State or San Jose State, and you lose the football game, and it just continues. The culture, I keep hearing people say, I need to come in and change the culture, Well, the change in culture needs to be winning football games. I don't know whether you need to practice longer, practice shorter, hit more, lift more, but whatever they've been doing, that culture is not working.
Yeah. Okay. Scotty, I think it's a requirement now to state your name and your age before you go on with
I'm going to stay anonymous as I can. I think just why it hasn't worked. I think there's, like Bob said, like there's a, and Dudley said too, like there's a lack of talent. There's a lack of discipline. I think there's a lack of just carrying the fundamentals from the practice field. Those guys all season long told us they practice this stuff. They work on technique every day, tackling technique, footwork, just being fundamentally sound, and they don't carry it to the football field for whatever reason. Tackling has been very poor. And I even go back to, I can't remember which game it was after, but one of John Chavis's former players, Randy Ramsey, got on Twitter and was talking about how outdated Chavis's defensive schemes were. Like, he's not keeping up with what's going on the other side of the ball and ways that you can improve your defense while, like, update your defense given what offenses these days are showing you. And apparently, according to former players, there wasn't just a whole lot of that. And that's not a good look at all.
Where is the Arkansas program is definitely not where it has been, or really it's at a place now to where it has never been. But when you have Ed Orgeron coming out and saying things like, oh, that's Arkansas, we weren't going to celebrate beating Arkansas because they haven't beat anybody. Can the next coach fix this? You were talking about a little bit the culture. Can the next coach fix the culture and flip this around for the Hogs?
Obviously, there's a possibility, but I don't think it's a probability that you can sit here and say that's going to happen today. I would love to know who would be the coach, and then maybe I could have a little bit more confidence in that happening. I do think that as you look at the situation here at Arkansas, in the last two weekends, by the way, I haven't covered football games. One, there was a bye and didn't have to go to LSU. And I've been in Nashville and Colorado to see kids and been sitting in establishments. And people
don't
will just
rub it in. Okay?
Yeah, people will just start talking about Arkansas football now that the game was on Saturday night. But it wasn't on in Nashville. There's some SEC people talking. And they're, without knowing that I'm a sports writer that covers Arkansas, is just bashing Arkansas. You know, and got a column, I think, coming out Friday that says, you know, truthfully, Arkansas has become one of the laughing stocks in college football. And I don't think there's any way to get around that. And, you know, we can all say, oh, that's mean and all that. But it's true. I mean, that's just where they're at. The new head coach, when he comes in here, first of all, I'm going to applaud him because this is a challenge. And anybody that you get good is going to be coming from a comfortable situation where they've been winning. Where they've been paid okay, they would make the move to be in the SEC, would make the move to get some more money, and they would make the move because they have, want the challenge. So I'll applaud whoever comes in here, but it is not going to turn around overnight. It's not going to turn around in a year. It will slowly start going around. I think that Chad Morris was doing some things to help that in recruiting. They just weren't doing it on the field. And I think coaching decisions and playing 17 quarterbacks in 2 years or whatever it is, was an inept thing that really got the fans more frustrated than anything else other than the actual losing. So I do think it's going to be a slow turnaround. You play Nevada, who's 7-4, and Notre Dame, your first two games, the new head coach will, and neither one of those are what you call wins. I mean, they might beat Nevada. Nevada, we'll see how it plays out, but people just better be patient, but the new head coach had better show coaching on the field, which did not get across from the current staff to the fans these past 2 years.
What do you think, Scotty?
I think the new coach, whoever he is, can get this thing back on the right track. I think all that fans want right now is to, like Dudley said, just show some on-field improvement. Like, I think fans would have been okay with, another – I don't know that they would have been okay with – they're going to be okay with another 2-10 year. Like, if Chad was still the coach and they would have gone 2-10. But they're just asking for 3 or 4 wins and to show some on-field improvement, show some signs of life on the offensive side of the ball. Chad came here promising and saying that they were going to field one of the most explosive offenses in the country.
Hammer down left lane, baby.
And that was the best case that we have for that was his first game against Eastern Illinois. And really, we didn't really see that again. The new coach just has to put a better product on the field. And I think people I think the new coach can get it turned around. It's just going to take a lot. And like Dudley referenced next year's schedule, like they've got tough games out of the gate. And I think they got to go like to Mississippi State after that trip to Notre Dame. So it's not going to be good, but I mean, you show some heart and some fight and give some people reason for optimism and couple it with some solid recruiting classes, get some guys that can come in and, maybe get a guy or two that can come in and make an impact right away. And then someone, a few other guys who might be able to help you, later, a little bit later on in the rebuild. I mean, it can be done. It's going to take a while.
Yeah, I think it's been proven it can be done. I mean, obviously the SEC is different with Nick Saban at Alabama. The best thing that could happen for the rest of the SEC is for him to retire, but he's 68 and going strong. But, you know, I remember back in 1992, you know, Arkansas lost the Citadel Fire, Jack Crow. Joe Kynes did a very admirable job as the interim coach, but they still finished 3-7-1. But then by 1995, and, of course, Nick Saban's Alabama was not, you know, a factor at that time, but Arkansas won the West, and they got destroyed by Florida, a great team. But, you know, within 3 years, Danny Ford, who recruited really well, brought a lot of toughness and discipline, had a pretty good staff. He had them in the championship game. I don't know if Arkansas can ever get back in the championship game, but I certainly think they can get back to a level of winning 6 or 7 games, going to a bowl games on a regular basis, which means an extra month of practice. I mean, you think about it, they're going to miss their third straight bowl game. That's 3 months of practice they're not getting, and almost everybody else in the SEC is getting. That's a tough thing to deal with now, too. But I certainly think if they get the right coach, he can get them back to be in a bowl team, and maybe they can be a team that every once in a while can win 10 games and challenge for the SEC West like they did under Houston Nunnally, like they did under Bobby Petrino. But they have to get a coach who's going to have credibility with the players, recruits, fans. They don't need an up-and-comer. They need a guy who's proven he can win at this level, who's done more with less. A guy like Mike Leach, frankly, who's won at places like Texas Tech and Washington State that traditionally don't win in those conferences, but he won at a pretty good clip. And I think, like Scotty said, the fans aren't asking them to go out and beat LSU. I think fans probably were excited that they were hanging with LSU for a quarter, 7-6. When was the last time Arkansas hung with anybody good for a quarter? I mean, like 5 years ago or something. I mean, so I think fans just – and if Chad Morris had beaten San Jose State and had beaten Kentucky or somebody, you know, he'd still be – and hadn't gotten blown up by Western Kentucky, he'd still be the coach. I mean, fans aren't asking for miracles. They just want a team that can beat the teams they're supposed to beat, show some fight, maybe win an SEC game or two, and, you know, within maybe 3 years to get back to a bowl. But, yeah, Dudley's right, it's a tough job. But it also has a lot of pluses. And I think a guy's going to come in with not very high expectations. And if he's a good coach, he'll be able to build him back up. But it's going to take some time.
Good stuff there, guys. All right, as we wrap it up here on the Whole Hog Sports Football Podcast, last roundtable of the year, I want to just give this question out to you, and we'll start with you, Scotty. What do you expect from the Razorbacks coming into this Missouri game, and what do you want to see from them?
I don't expect they'll look a whole lot different than they have at any other point in the year. I mean, there's no reason for me to think optimistically going into this game, and no, like, it's the atmosphere I feel like in Little Rock just for the game itself is, it might be pretty rough because we just found out that Missouri is, like, even if they win on Friday, they're not going to be bowl eligible. I think that was kind of a thing, like, well, Arkansas can go into this game. They've got a little bit to play for with it being the last game of the year, the seniors' last game, a little bit of a unique deal playing in Little Rock at the end of the year, but Arkansas can also keep Missouri from going to a bowl game. Well, that's kind of out the window now. You know, if Kelly Bryant plays, he'll probably have his best game since he got injured. I mean, I would imagine. It seems like that's how things go against Arkansas. But I think there will be a nice crowd. I think the fans will give the seniors like Scooter Harris and Sosa Game and T.J. Smith and some of those seniors, I figure they'll try to send them out as best they can. I'm just not sure that Arkansas will be able to be able to stop Missouri. And if Kelly Bryant can't play, that means Taylor Powell, former Fayetteville High star, probably get a majority of the snaps, and that could be kind of a bad storyline to end a really bad year.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Missouri's lost 5 in a row, and yet they're a 13-point favorite, I think. But that's just the way it is for Arkansas this year. But I think they'll be – it's supposed to rain, which is just kind of par for the course, it seems like, for this season. And right. I feel like it's been bad weather in Little Rock like it was at Ole Miss. And there always seems to be crappy weather for the Missouri-Arkansas game, whether it's in Columbia or here. Maybe they'll change in Kansas City next year or something. But or in Little Rock, bad weather – Columbia bad weather, Fayetteville bad weather, maybe Kansas City bad weather. But, you know, you don't have to have a huge – like a 45,000 people show up, that's a pretty good crowd in War Memorial State because it's not that big a stadium. And it's their one chance to get to see the Razorbacks. Maybe I'm giving the fans too much credit. I certainly wouldn't blame anybody for not going if they have tickets. But you know, your one chance to kind of go out and maybe see a win, because I think it's a winnable game for Arkansas. I'm going to predict Jack Lindsey's going to start and throw for about 400 yards. We'll see. To me, that would be kind of a cool storyline if Jack Lindsey started.
It'd be pretty cool to see Taylor Powell game. And Jack Lindsey play against each other. Yeah. Okay, yeah, you can edit that out, right?
Okay. And Kelly Bryant, he's like had a bad hamstring, bad knee. If it's a wet track there, you wonder how that impacts a guy. And maybe, you know, Kelly Bryant, I think if you're healthy, Kelly Bryant would probably put up all kinds of yards passing and rushing. But in bad weather, who knows what could happen. So, and if Arkansas could win this game, I mean, it would make a really bad season a lot more tolerable. You'd have a little momentum going to the off season. If you lose, it means you got to wait however many months to try to get another SEC win, you know.
Well, the school that I graduated from, the University of Arkansas, very proud alum, fired its coach during the late season here. I think that the University of Missouri, of which Bob is a proud alum, will fire its coach if Barry Odom loses on Saturday. I mean, that seems like all the talk up there. They were expected to have a much better season, so this could be the Waterloo for him as well. In picking up what game. You know, highlights or whatever you're looking for. A guy who goes out on Friday night and watches a lot of prospects and certainly saw Taylor play a lot, certainly saw Jack play a lot. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I would love to see a Taylor Powell versus Jack Lindsey battle there somewhere. Now, what's interesting to me is KJ Jefferson wanted to come here and learn from Kelly Bryant. He and his head coach, Carl Diffie, told me that. They thought that it'd be great if KJ could redshirt, but he could learn from Kelly Bryant. Obviously, that didn't happen. So here you are with the possibility, I guess, I don't know how good a possibility is, that KJ Jefferson starts and plays against Kelly Bryant. And then out of the bullpen comes Taylor Powell and Jack Lindsey. I don't know how that's going to go. But as far as storylines, that's about as excited as I've been all year. And I always go to the opposing locker room stuff. I mean, I've had a good year, I think, writing stories in terms of winning teams and all that. But I do think it's a winnable game. Will I predict Arkansas would win? No, I'm Missouri 35-21 in our magazine. But, I'm looking forward to it. Now, is it 47,000 people that they have to buy tickets or 47,000 people that have to show up?
I assume it's tickets because it's hard to count exact.
Because so
47,000.
There have already been a lot of people on Twitter saying, well, I'm not going to sit in the rain for this. But if they bought their tickets, then they would continue to have games down there and stuff on the average. And I do think from being from Newport, I think it's very important that they continue to play once every 2 years down there or whatever it is. And I'm actually looking forward to going to Royal Memorial. Didn't necessarily look going to four games every year, but one game every 2 years. Yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah, what you're talking about, they have to have 47,000 tickets, whether it is people there or sold, in order for War Memorial to keep the game there in Little Rock. And as a person that's from Little Rock, I kind of agree with you, Dudley. I enjoyed going. That's sometimes the only time I ever got to see the Hogs. My first game as a Razorback or as a fan was there watching the Razorbacks play, and then also just getting to see them come into town. For me, it was once a year was awesome. Really helped grow fandom in Little Rock as well.
I always have good memories of it for one reason. I went on a date with a girl who ended up being my wife.
There you go. War Memorial, but more than just a football game, can also lead to relationship goals. All right.
Grab a poncho and get the War Memorial right.
Yeah, grab a poncho.
What Barry Lunny says.
Get to War Memorial. And hey, we appreciate all of you for listening to this podcast throughout the year. Appreciate Scotty Borderline, Bob Holt, Dudley Dawson. I appreciate you guys for coming on all year long. Y'all have been great, giving us great insight. And, you know, without you, this podcast wouldn't go. So I appreciate you guys and appreciate all y'all listening and really tuning in throughout this year.
And hanging in. Thanks for hanging in.
It has definitely been a hang rather than, sometimes.
Thanks for not joining the transfer portal during the season.
An up and down season for sure, a roller coaster, but the roller coaster is coming to an end, but that doesn't mean that the Whole Hog coverage is coming to an end, because we'll have more of that all throughout the year. The Whole Hog Podcast is produced and edited for Airship by me, Seth Campbell. Special shout outs to Dudley Dawson, Bob Holt, and Scotty Borderline. You can read more from Scotty, Dudley, and Bob on WholeHogSports.com. Thank you to our sponsor, Massage Envy.
By supporting them, you are supporting us. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast. Subscribing and sharing is one of the best ways to let your friends know about this podcast and for us to grow. You can also comment and let us know what you like and dislike about the podcast. Theme music is by Silent Partners. I'm Seth Campbell for Whole Hog Sports. Thank you for joining us throughout this year. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed bringing you this podcast. Make sure to subscribe to Whole Hog Radio for more great Razorback content, including Razorback basketball and other sports podcasts. Once again, thank you for listening and have a great Thanksgiving.